Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As Easter and Passover approach, we want to listen to the music that traces its roots back to African rhythms, then slaves who found inspiration in the story of Moses freeing his people from bondage in Egypt. It's, of course, gospel music. That's a YouTube video of one of the hottest sounds in gospel right now, the Brooklyn Sound, with Uncle Butch Hayward playing Stay in the Race on the Hammond organ. Let's hopscotch now through some of the history of gospel. It's very dense. We can't possibly get to it all. With Robert Stevens, professor of music at the University of Connecticut. Professor, you've said I can call you Bob. Welcome.
Thank you.
And just let's set out a language here. Gospel grew out of spirituals, which grew out of, you know, sort of the slave sounds. But spirituals and gospel, not the same.
No, they're not. And one of the distinguishing features between the two is that most of the spirituals texts are based on the Old Testament. There was a strong identification with Moses leading his people out of Egypt, out of bondage. And so that possibly may be one of the reasons. The gospel, on the other hand, is about the good news, about Christ coming again. Much of it is based on the New Testament. There are some other factors, too, that I think are important. And one of the things that was not looked upon with great favor during the period of enslavement was the use of instruments. There was this fear that instruments could be used to communicate and inspire uprisings. Mm-hmm. Drums were actually banned, and that played a critical role in how rhythm developed among African Americans in the United States. But although the drums were banned, there were surrogates. One of the primary surrogates to create rhythms were hand clapping and foot stamping.
That's Good Lord, Run Old Jeremiah, recorded by Alan Lomax in 1934. There were also freed slaves. There were Northerners in the late 1700s. A new church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, was formed by former slaves in Philadelphia. The co-founder, Richard Allen, wrote and collected songs for a hymnal in 1801. It was called A Collection of Spirituals, Songs, and Hymns. Let's just listen to one. How Happy Every Child of Grace, sung by the Ebenezer Baptist Church of Rock Hill, South Carolina.
I seek my home in heaven and
one of the things that eventually evolved out of this is the use of refrain lines. It's important to remember that a lot of the folks who attended these services could not read. So audience participation or communal participation, which is conceptually a very African thing, was something that was important to them in the services, and that became a part of what they did.
There were also coded Underground Railroad songs that provided information about how to escape. Here's Wade in the Water.
Wading in the water, wading in the water,
wading.
But you remind us it was after the Civil War that songs like Wade in the Water began to be presented in fundraising concerts by the Fisk University Jubilee Singers. This is a group of former slaves directed by Professor George White. What role did he play in the development of spirituals?
He did two things to them. One, he helped to formalize them. He harmonized them, and he cleaned the language, as he would say, so that it could be understood primarily by whites, because these were the folks who were more likely to contribute money, and it would bring back a bit of nostalgia for them as well.
Here's a 1909 recording of the Fisk Jubilee Singers and Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
The
You say that there was a time when there was a wave of African-American migration, the turn of the 20th century, and songs rooted in slavery were brought to populations that maybe didn't want to dwell on that past as much, and they wanted a more modern, hopeful element to it.
That's true. One of the things that has often plagued music and in the African-American church is this idea of respectability. And so there were people who were just very uncomfortable performing in the old style.
I want to make sure we've mentioned the towering figure in the 1920s and 30s. This is Thomas Dorsey. He wrote the gospel classic, Take My Hand, Precious Lord, after his wife and child died. And let's just listen to a little Mahalia Jackson.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
Thomas Dorsey, known as the father of gospel.
We have to remember that Dorsey was also a blues man initially before he was a religious man. He had to work very hard to be accepted in the church.
Well, it's around this time that the Hammond organ is invented. Here's the Jubilee Gospel Team from the 1920s to 40. You can hear the organ in Let Jesus Lead You. You can hear the organ in the back there. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But the organ soon came front and center.
Specifically, the Hammond organ, actually invented because people were looking for an answer to the pipe organ. Again, music making in the black community is vocally oriented, or certainly vocally based, and the Hammond certainly has the ability to approximate what the voice does. In the black church, the spoken word is not the be-all, end-all. Its significance lies when it's paired with something else. So, as my son Robert III says, a gospel player and as a jazz player, said that you have what's called talk music or padding, as it's called. So during the course of a sermon, as the minister introduces his the text that he wants to teach about, and as the sermon evolves, then the organ player will come in and they have cues. Robert says that, he's worked with ministers who beforehand will tell him, this is where I want you to key up. And so they will listen. And then they, as the minister gets to what's called a whoop, they will punctuate that. There's a great example of a sermon close. It's a pastor, H.B. Charles. He's on YouTube. And his sermon is Something Good is Going to Come Out of This. And as he closes the sermon, you hear the organ player in the background working with him in conjunction. The Hammond does this extremely well.
The way I feel it in my heart, but I just want to tell somebody something good has got to come out of this, because God is real, because his grace is sufficient, because his love is everlasting, because his power.
We began with Uncle Butch Hayward and the Brooklyn Sound. We want to hear Melvin Crispell. He's called the professor. He also played in the Brooklyn Sound. Let's listen to a little.
Each denomination has its own style of playing, but this is Brooklyn Sound.
Well, you linked to a New York tribute to the professor when he died. It's played by Corey Henry. It's had over a million views on YouTube. Let's just listen. Is gospel today? I know money's being raised for the first major gospel music museum. Can't wait. It's slated for 2 years from now in the Pilgrim Baptist Church on Chicago's South Side. But what's the status now?
Well, gospel is everything to a lot of people now, and it's everywhere. If you think about some of the players who are out there now, there's a player by the name of Doobie Powell. His style, for example, represents or reflects a very R&B orientation. Corey Henry has moved on to a more soloistic orientation. Rob Stevens, my son, I have to mention him, and Corey Henry's style reflect what might be called progressive gospel. So gospel now has expanded. Its influence is just about everywhere.
Well, again, we know we've skipped over so much of the history. It's huge. You know, everybody has a favorite. We know we left people's out, so I want to hear what it is at hearnow.org. My personal favorite, Yolanda Adams' What Shall I Do? I know Tremaine Hawkins has a fabulous version as well. But let us know yours at hearnow.org. Bob Stevens, again, professor of music at the University of Connecticut. He's a contributor to the forthcoming book, by the way, Songs of Social Protest, International Perspectives. His chapter is Protest in the African-American Experience. It's going to come next summer. Professor Bob, thank you so much for just letting us hear some of this music today.
It's been my pleasure.